Lord Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the privilege of your word. Lord, as we'll be ministering, myself first, then Pastor Loud, we pray that the entrance of your word will give light, give understanding to us. Pray that a clear channel will be created and maintained in the heavenlies, through which more than enough of the life and power of God will flow. Cause the word of God to go forth with power, with accuracy, with simplicity, and with the love and comfort of the Holy Spirit. We pray that eternal works, both internal and external, will be done in our hearts and lives through the ministry of the Spirit and the Word, in the name of Jesus. Father, let your word have a free course. Let your word be glorified. Father, we are not ignorant of the device of the enemy against effectual delivery and receiving of the word. So, under the covering of our fathers and in unity with my brethren, I come against every foul spirit of distraction, intimidation, offense, mind wandering, lack of reverence and respect for God, and such like spirits and attitude, we cast you out, destroy your works, resist and bind you, and break your hold over our hearts, bodies, and circumstances in the name of Jesus. We use the angels of God and the seven spirits of God to fulfill the air and enforce God's perfect will concerning this ministration. Father, we are grateful for a new year. Thank you for taking us through the challenges of 2020, bringing us into a new year, which will make us overcomers as we break the veil of the flesh in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, because you answer our prayers. You do more than what we ask, more than what we think, according to your power that is at work within us. For we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank God for the privilege to start. It's what starts that grows. Amen. So, maybe few, but please open your hearts. Open them unto the Lord. And be prepared to receive from God. Amen. Amen. Let's respond. Amen. Let me start by encouraging us, according to the admonition of the fathers, of the second wave of the coronavirus going on, both in church and outside, let's always endeavor to wear our masks when we are in public. Okay? Let's not take things for granted. Let's obey the instructions. Let's be careful. But don't let us be fearful. Praise the Lord. Okay, so in a country that under tests, you are having about 1,500 every day. That's a lot. That's a lot. So let's do our own part. Social distance, wash your hands, and go. If you have flu-like symptoms, because it's also when the flu season is ending, make sure you steam in the night before you sleep. Okay, so you heat up your thorax, heat up your nasal pathway. Be responsible. Praise the Lord. So collectively, it shall be well with us. It shall be free from harm in Jesus' name. Okay, so briefly, I'll be talking about walking with God in dark times. Walking with God in dark times. Indeed, we are facing a dark period, a stormy period. And God is still God. Praise the Lord. God is still God. There are many places in the Bible when children of Israel go to Archie, they say, Where is God? Where is God? Where is the God of our fathers? Where is the Where is the God of our Father? God is there. God is there. And we have to be ready to walk with Him, walking with God in these dark times. Amen. read one of the fathers many years ago as a teenager, maybe early 20s. Say, I would prefer to be in darkness with God than to be found in light alone. I say, I would prefer to be in darkness with God than to be found in light alone. That shows that the essence of, at the end of the day, is the personality of God. Okay? Remember, the Bible tells us not to be deceived by the devil, because he can pretend to be an angel of light. Praise the Lord. So, the fact that there is light, but if you can't find God, then it's not a big deal. Amen. Though I walk through the valley, that's, valley is a depression. Praise the Lord. Of the shadow. Shadow is darkness. And ultimately death. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid, for thou art with me. Praise the Lord. Means that the personality of God makes the psalmist believe it's okay. Ultimately, it will be settled. Amen. So, there are dark times. We are in dark times. Amen. Today, I hear about the Brazilian variant of the COVID-19. So, another variant entirely, which we have to start investigating afresh, whether it is more dangerous, spreads more, causes more mortality. Can the vaccine already going on work for it? So, putting doubts and worries and anxiety in the system. It's dark times. But we have to walk with God. Genesis 26, 1 to 6. I have about 5 scriptures, so we'll just be quick. Genesis 26, 1 to 6. Thank you for this. Genesis 26, 1 to 6. Can we quickly get to Genesis 26? Since we are reading 6 verses. Okay, so maybe I have to pick it up myself. Are they there? Still not yet. Okay, let's read. Many of us have our Bibles. And there was a famine in the land. I didn't hear you. There was a famine in the land. Beside the first famine, there was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went with Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's unto Isaac, and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father, and I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. So, Isaac was in Gerar with Abimelech, king of the Philistines. There was famine in the land, and obviously, the land was not profitable. The land was not eat. The land was, you know, when I was young, then they said, no biam. It wasn't eat. So, apparently, I guess there was news that things are moving fine in Egypt. Okay? And naturally, Isaac wanted to gravitate to where things are moving fine. But God showed up and said, do not go down to Egypt. Stay in this land that I've shown you. Sojourn there, I will bless you. Praise the Lord. So, it's not that God says, change to pleasantness. God says, stay in that farming land. Praise the Lord. And I will be with you. Amen. And I will bless you. That's what God said. So, Isaac stayed in Gerar. Let's jump to verse 12. Good. Then Isaac sowed in that land. We must read the scriptures. That's the greatest gain we get here. Then Isaac sowed in that land. That then means since God has said stay. Okay? Since God said stay. Then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. Verse 13. And the man waxed great. Who is the man? And went forward and grew until he became very great. Go to verse 12. Let's just pick one last line. And the Lord blessed him. Praise the Lord. Many times this is where we have found ourselves. God has been good. God blessed us. Praise the Lord. But that wasn't the same for Isaac. So verse 13. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great. So he waxed in that blessing. And waxed great. Then that greatness was an occupying greatness. He said he went forward and grew until he became very great. Verse 14. For he had possessions of flocks. Yes, I must finish that. And possession of herds and great store of silver. And the Philistines envied him. So the Lord will bless you. And men shall be afraid of you. That is actually envy. So, many times as believers, we want to claim this, which is good. Who wants to claim what is bad? You want to claim what is good. So, you know, he said, people give tithes. He said, God bless you for giving your tithes. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. Since you have sown your tithes, like Isaac, the Lord will bless you. You will wax great. You will go forward until you become very great. Say so. So when you sow like Isaac, you will receive 100-fold. And God will bless you and wax great. Isaac didn't sow. Isaac sowed in that land. Praise, it's not the same thing. Isaac didn't just sow. Isaac sowed in that land. Which land? The land God told him stay there. Amen. So you now go from Gerar and go to Egypt and sow and say, God, I have sown. And when you sow, you will reap 100-fold. Then we see it not working. But it was not an issue that Isaac sowed. Isaac sowed in that land. Amen. That land was a product of conversation with God. Amen. It was not a product of Isaac's decision. It was a product of a conversation with God. And God said, don't go. Stay in the famine. Praise the Lord. I prefer to be in darkness with God than to be found in light alone. God said, don't go to the light. Stay in the darkness, but I will be with thee. Amen. The question is, how content are you with God's presence? Amen. Or you are ready to escape to where it will blossom, but you won't hear God. There is dark times, but we should be ready to walk with God in dark times. Isaac stayed in the land of Gerar. Things were moving in Egypt, but he didn't want to go down. He stayed in the land. He stayed in the famine and sowed in the land in the midst of that famine. And God blessed him 100-fold. And then God blessed him. And then he grew. He worked great. He went forward until he became very great. Praise the Lord. Arise, shine. For the light has come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Behold, darkness. Gross darkness. Covered the people, but the Lord shall arise on thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So it's where God is. Amen. Brethren, our God is real. And in trying times like this, is not when to count him out. Praise the Lord. I look at the world nowadays, people are counting God out. If you even side with God, you become abnormal. You don't rep. Everybody are taking matters into their hands. And it seems to be working. Stay with God. Praise the Lord. Our prophet is with God. 1 Kings 17, 1 to 4. I'm sure you are with me now. 1 Kings 17, 1 to 4. And Elijah the Tishbite. Hello. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Praise the Lord. So just like Isaac, when there was famine in the land, we've come to another situation where there was not going to be rain for years. And when there is no rain, what do you have? Famine, drought, famine. Good. Okay. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, go. So this was now Elijah in the midst of the famine. Amen. It's not easy. It's not easy to be a man of God. I remember Papa Raph many years ago. He said, Papa Raph, please lay your hands on me. I want an anointing to be a prophet. He said, do you know what you are asking for? Do you want to be misunderstood? You want to be an outcast? God told you to prophesy about famine, a famine that you yourself will experience. That's what Elijah faced. Where he himself could now not get bread, there was famine in which he prophesied. We honor men of God, particularly men of God indeed. Because many times you are just an errand boy. You don't even know the complete picture with God. But you go say what he told you to say. So, verse 2, go back to verse 2. So, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, now God now spoke to Elijah in that famine. Verse 3. Get thee hence and turn thee eastward. Where does the sun rise from? Turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. Verse 4. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, for I have commanded. Who have commanded? Who have commanded? God, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Praise the Lord. So Elijah was somewhere. God didn't say, I have sent ravens to come and feed you where you are. God said, go to this place. A new day. Go there. It is there. I have commanded the ravens. So, we need to walk with God. Amen. And where did he say you should go? Say, Elijah, go there. I'm sure it's not a short distance. Go there. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. If you go somewhere else, what will happen? There will be no feeding. I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Our God is real. Praise the Lord. God told me many years ago, as a young man bubbling up in my career, say, son, don't take opportunities. Take the will of God. Don't take opportunities. There will be plenty. Take God's will. So when you see the opportunities, you better calm down. Where is God's will in the midst of the opportunities? Because it's in God's will that God will sustain you. Praise the Lord. That God will be with you. Mark chapter 4, verse 28. We have three more scriptures. Put them quick. These ones are single verses. Mark chapter 4, verse 28. The earth, for the earth, you, your body, when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God that will show through your body. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. You know what that's saying? It's a gradual process. It's a what? It's a gradual process. That's why people just don't be with God. They walk with God. And then your walk gets better and better. Your hearing of God gets clearer and clearer. Praise the Lord. Let me say this. I was telling Pastor Lalo and I were talking before prayers this afternoon. And many years ago, younger, definitely. When something is years ago, you are younger, isn't it? Let me say I was younger spiritually. And a young lady, and I want the ladies to hear me. A young lady introduced her fiance to me. I was happy, excited. So somebody had joined us in the discussion. Said, this is our daughter. Make sure you take care of her. But in that discussion, something peeped in me. Want this girl of premarital sex. But I started, is it God talking? No, I was kind of debating it. It wasn't really clear. But what the function, just let it go. A few months to the wedding, she's pregnant. It just destroyed the whole wedding. Because of the kind of honor and prestige level that her parents were, the kind of honor that the parents were in the church, they couldn't even do the church wedding. It was just sad. At that time, it was sad. So now, when I have opportunity to counsel young people, the lady, I do not shy away. I hit it straight. I tell the lady, you better. Now I hear better by God's grace. And I'm more accountable to what I hear. No, then I could say, was it God? By God's grace, I hear better. And I'm still getting better by far. I still have a long way to go. But now I try not to be ashamed, shy, or be afraid of anybody's face. And when I hear God say something, I just say, bam. But it's a process. First the air. First the blade. Then the air. And then the full core. That's how our walk with God is. Amen. And we start to hear God better. And better and better, because at the end of the day, I don't know the impression you have about what they call the sons of God. When they say manifestation of the sons of God, I don't know the impression you have, but as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the sons of God. Those are the sons of God. That leading will now end up with power. We now end up with glory. We now end up, but if you are not cultivating, I think God is saying this. Then pause. And God doesn't tempt people more than they are able. You start with little things. I think God is. Then you, and then later it comes and say, that was God. Then something comes and they say, that was how this voice came the last time. I disobeyed it and I saw the consequence. I think God is speaking to me again. You are going to grow in it. You are going to grow in it. As many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. Pray. You have to pray. Read your Bible. You have to read your Bible. Come to church. You have to come to church. By the time we put all those things and grind them together, it must end up with God leading you. Praise the Lord. They are not just religious activities. It's to end up in a stronger relationship with God that you can hear His voice and His leadings. Papa Ralph said many years ago, he said, what is the whole essence of living right and yet missing God? I pray. Then God now says, stop that. But you can't hear. So what's the whole essence of living right and yet always missing God? So, but I'm telling you the truth, it's gradual. First the blade, then the air, and then the full corn. Yeah. So let me quickly take my last two scriptures. Luke 8:15. Luke chapter 8 verse 15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with what? Patience. Yeah, that's it. Stay with it. The earth bringeth forth fruit of itself. First the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air. And look, 8:15 is saying, it's going to bring forth fruit with patience. First the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air. Amen. It takes time. Good morning, Joe. Like Mom said, and I just say, hey, brethren, stop. I want us to, God spoke to me. Amen. So we are doing a normal, you pray this one, after that you pray this one. And we do that regularly, but on the day you don't say, stop. Because at the end of the day, the most important thing is God's direction. Amen. But the Mom said we are talking about is taking 30 years of constantly staying with it with commitment and progression. Amen. God doesn't owe anybody. Amen. If you seek Him, you will be found. Amen. You will be found. And He's a faithful God. And that's where I'm ending. He is a faithful God. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. He is a faithful God. He wants you to draw close to Him so that He can draw close to you and help you. Amen. So that you can hear His voice, you can feel His heartbeat, you can always move with His direction. So God is not one hard taskmaster staying somewhere and watching you fail and saying, then you know you are human, me, I'm God. No, God is doing everything to bring you closer for you to look like Him. Amen. So let's read this last scripture of mine before Pastor Lalu comes. Faithful is He that called you. I know your neighbors are far, but try to locate the neighbor. Point. Faithful. I say point. Faithful is He that called you, and He will do it. Amen. So let's cheat. Try our best. But God is the one that is really doing it. Amen. Just lift your finger. Make an attempt. Push forward. Amen. And God, you see God take over, help you, and then bless you beyond means. Isaac just sowed. Since that was the land, God says, sow. Don't go here, just sow here. It's farming land, sowed. But after Isaac sowed, is it Isaac that made it 30-fold? Is it Isaac that made it 100-fold? And God now blessed him. And then he grew. And then he went forward and waxed great until he became very great. That's God's destiny for those who walk according to His voice and according to His leadings. The Lord will help us. In these dark times, God is still speaking. He wants to speak. We just get close to Him, and then He will lead you unto a fair heaven. In Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Lord, to God in the highest.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for His mercies. Thanking God for that wonderful apt word. God bless you, Prophet. I'll just make a few comments before I share what I have in mind for us. You know, Prophet was talking about Isaac being in the land of Gerar. You know, it's amazing that the Bible says that the second famine, you know, it's just like our own time when we have the second wave of this coronavirus, you know, and I just saw that there, you know, it's a principle. That theirs was a famine, but ours is more of this plague and pestilence has hit the planet. And, you know, before you would say, okay, it's happening abroad, it's happening there, it's happening in Lagos, it's far, but you can see now that the thing has, I don't want to say the hen has come to roost, because it is not our place to come to roost in Jesus' name. But reality is on ground. The truth, the fact is that we have this thing around, and as a community, infection, and we have to know what we are supposed to do. The Bible says that those that know their God shall be strong, and they shall do exploits. Where they say there is a casting out, we will say the word. There is a lifting up, you know. But we need to know what to do to experience that lifting up, like Isaac, you know, and the thing that we need to put into effect. I just want to encourage us, you know, because truly, like Prof has said, these are dark times. And I'm just going to say some of the things that Pastor and Mommy shared with us during the watch night service, during the crossover into the new year service. And the summary of it is in the title of, we are going to break through the veil of the flesh, and we're going to experience a year of pleasant surprises. All right, so it's important that it is for us on the good side, not on the dark side, you know, because the Bible says that, like Prof quoted, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness, you know. So it's about to be on the right side. And the summary of what Isaac also did, and which also, you know, I'm just going to be dropping these truths, is he was willing and obedient. The Bible says that if you are willing and obedient, you will what? It's the good of the land, the fruit of the land. And so you see, even though there are evil tidings and things that are happening around, you can still be experienced. You can live in a bubble, you know, of God's goodness and of God's mercies. You know, like in Psalms 19, it says, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 right at my right, but it will not come near me. But there are conditions. So these are days we need to start practicing and putting into effect, you know, the conditions to be able to enjoy the promises, you know, that God has promised us about different areas of our lives. Are we together? So you can't say I'm too young. Of course, you will not be tempted beyond what you can bear. But at the same time, there is something that God has put in you, and the tests that thou will be tested. There is enough that you have heard. Whatever you are facing, it is because you have enough in you and even greater to overcome it. Are we together? So you should never, it's not a time to complain or a time to be in despair or be discouraged or to live by sight. This is the moment to live by faith. You know, and like Tazim prophesied, you know, and the Bible talks about we should wage a good warfare with the prophecies that we hear. And by his mercy and grace, we have gotten these prophecies and these prophetic teachings that we are supposed to use to get to the other side. You know, the Lord just told the disciples, said, let us go to the other side. You know, but even though Jesus was on the boat, even though the Lord was on the boat with them, they had a storm. You know, but the situation or the solution was to wake the master up, or to exercise, let me just summarize it. The solution, because even though they woke him up, he said, O thou of little faith. So the thing we need to do right now is to build up our faith. You use the situation and the challenges of the time to use that opportunity, use that opportunity to build up faith. Use the opportunity to go into the Word. What does the Bible say about this situation and how to handle this situation? What I'm supposed to know? What I'm supposed to do? How I'm supposed to live? How I'm supposed to overcome? How I'm supposed to prevail? How I'm supposed to thrive? How come Isaac, in the midst of the famine, the second wave of the famine, he thrived? And it's amazing what the Bible says. It didn't say it was great. The Bible says that he grew. He works great. He became very great. It's like four levels, four dimensions. It's like the guy broke through the veil. You see, he waxed great. He went forward. He grew until he became very great. There was no stopping him. He experienced an unlimited dimension. He broke through the veil. He broke through the limitation of that time. Where they were saying there is a curse now, where they were saying this is happening, that is happening, there is economic downturn, the guy's zone was not like that. Are we together? Because he hearkened to the voice of the Lord and he broke through the veil of the flesh. And you see, the veil of the flesh for us at this time, and you see, it's dark times, but really is the greatest opportunity to shine. Because the stars, mind you, the stars, it's not as if the stars say, okay, it is dark, let's come out. No. If you go outside now, stars are there. You just can't see them. Because there is a bigger star, which is the sun, of course, whose light is brighter than theirs. But when it grows dark, that's when they manifest. Are we together? So also the manifestation of the sons of God, this is the hour. The manifestation of the sons of God just means the unveiling of the Son, the Christ that is in you. See, that's a pleasant surprise. Christ in you, the hope of glory. There used to be this advert of milk. He says it's in you. Really, the solution to the world problem is in us. Creation is waiting. Men are waiting to see Jesus. And so, we are in the last frontier to break through the flesh. And the flesh, when we are talking about the breaking through the veil of the flesh, we are talking about that which has hindered us and limited us. It's just two words, the sin nature. That which has hindered us from walking in the reality of who we are, the wisdom, the power, and that inheritance, that thing that God has invested in us, that which has hindered us from experiencing the reality of these wonderful things that we have heard from scriptures, these heavenly blessings, this wisdom greater than Solomon, this power beyond measure. The thing that has hindered us and has limited us hitherto is the sin nature. That's just it. Whether you like it or you don't like it, you believe it, you don't believe it. And this is not the moment to even say, I don't believe it. Because that is it. That is what has put creation in bondage. That which has made you what you are. That has not allowed us to grow, to wax great, to move forward, to wax great, and to be very great. Because it is God's will for us to be great in Christ, to do the works that Jesus did and greater, to move forward and to be very great in every area, spiritually, mentally, physically, financially, socially, politically, in every area. You know, that which has hindered man and has hindered us, the church, is the sin nature. And that's why the final thing we need to break through at this time is that veil. See, a veil is a hindrance. Give me Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 verse 7. Thank you. Verse 7. It says, and he will destroy in this mountain. Give it to me in NIV or New King James. NIV or New King James. See, I want to stir up. I want you to know that the man in the mirror that you are seeing is not the guy. You might be seeing yourself and say, sir, you don't know what I've gone through. But God just wants to encourage you because he has invested a lot in us. You know, one. Number two, the Lord Jesus did a lot. He paid a huge sacrifice. And he didn't just pay a sacrifice for us to be born again. He went to hell. He died on the cross. He went to hell. He suffered 3 days, 3 nights. You know, he rose up on the third day. He ascended on high. And is ever living to make intercession so that we can be saved. To them, there is something he is hungry for, he is longing for. And for each and every one of us that is here, he died and paid that price for each and every one of us. Now, see, and he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering, cast over all people. And of course, it's Satan that is behind this. The Bible says that the world lies in the sway of the wicked one. He is the deceiver. The enemy will come in like a flood. That is one part. By the end, we see that there is a greater flood and the hope is in yours. And the veil that is spread over what? All nations. darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness, the people. Next verse. Next verse. Now, God is telling us what he's going to do. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces, the rebuke of his people. He will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. Give me the next verse. And it will be said in that day. See, so people are waiting. It says, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We'll be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Now, how do we break through this veil of limitation? And this limitation, of course, we say is a sin nature. It's like a stopper. It's like it tries to hold you down, or it keeps coming back. You know, Paul talked about, he said, the thing I want to do, I do not do, because I found that there's another law within my member. You know, the sin nature operates in the soul. It operates in our wills, it operates in our minds, it operates in our emotions, it operates in our bodies. It makes us do what we don't want to do. It's like a gravitational pull. But we want to break through that veil, because it's a force. See, it's not just a veil of, it's like a cloth. You know, but it's beyond a cloth, because we know that there is a spiritual force, and we know that there is a prince of the power of the air that tries to blind. You see that he has blinded the eyes of the people. But right now, we must get dissatisfied. This is not the time for you to give up. This is not the, because the solution, like I keep saying it, it's in you. Christ, you see, the pleasant surprise, the thing that is going to, the Bible says, he will shake the heavens and the earth. Then the desire of the nations will come. The desire of the nation is Christ. He's in you. He's a deliverer. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the mighty one. He's the all-wise God. Are we together? He's the creative one. He's the director. He's the manager. He's the solution provider. He's everything. He made all things. By him were all things made. That creator, that one by which were all things were made, by which all things consist, he is in you. Something will say, he is in you. He is in you. See, you have to recognize that God is in you. God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Are we together? Not by might, not by power. They say, I was coming across a commentary on a book. They say, God, the Holy Spirit, is like a forgotten God. Many people don't recognize that the Holy Spirit, and these are points that you need to know. I know that God is, that was what Prof was talking about, that I would rather be in the dark with God than be in light where there is no God. See, God is in you. God, the Holy Spirit, is the resident God on earth right now. And you need to tap into the ministry of the Holy Spirit to guide you, to lead you, to use his power to break any limitation and any fear. And the greatest limitation many of us have is fear. There are veils of fear, veils of worry. This veil manifests in different forms. There are works of the flesh. You have to think into your life. Is it low self-esteem? Is it worry? Is it immorality? Is it power? What is that thing that has bound you and held you down hitherto and has not allowed you to manifest? It seeks to hinder the manifestation of the Christ nature, of purity, of wisdom, of power. What is it? Disobedience? Is it stubbornness? What hitherto has bound you and that you know that you need to break forth from? Is it depression? Then I would say break forth into joy. The major things we will need to break forth into in this new year are the forces of the fruit of the Spirit. See, when you have those ones, all other things will come. Ingenuity will come. Creativity will come. The Bible says with the lowly is wisdom. When you break forth into learning humility and meekness, and you really know what it is, and you understand, you have a personal revelation of these truths, you know, you break forth into joy. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You break forth into the reality of the things of the Spirit and all that God has for you. You break forth into the Word, into Bible reading and study. You break forth into diligent praying, waking up early to pray. You break forth into obedience. Then you will eat the good of the land. You see, when you break forth into being consistent in fulfilling the conditions of a necessity, the blessings and the promises will abound in your life. You will become great, you will move forward, you will wax great, you will be very great. In the midst of the second wave of the famine. Are we together? So, what you need to put into play is faith. Let's read 1 Corinthians 13. Let me just try and round up with 1 Corinthians 13. And I'll just say this, see, you need to go back and listen to the message. I guess you can. We'll probably upload it on the Zion City website, zionstonline.net. But you can always go to spconline.net or the podcast, sign up for the podcast free of charge and download the Watch Night service. It's broken into four parts, just 20 minutes or four parts. So it's easy for you to digest. You know, so when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. This is time for you to hook up with the person of the Holy Spirit. It's in you. You don't have to feel the Holy Spirit safe. He's your friend. He's your paracletos. He's your advocate. He's your intercessor. He's your helper. The Lord just said, it is better that I leave. See, the Holy Spirit can be, the Holy Spirit is with Isaiah. The Holy Spirit is with David. The Holy Spirit is with Sarah. The Holy Spirit is with everybody here. But the Lord just, if the Lord just was here physically, he cannot be with us in multiple places that we are. So the Lord just knew what he was saying when he says that it's better that that I go and the Holy Spirit comes. Are we together? So you have God in you. You have God right beside you. And you need to tap into that ministry because he's greater. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible says, when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him. Are we together? Okay, yeah. So, I told you to give me a verse. Now, give me verse where it talks about we see in part when that which is complete is come. Yes. Go to verse 8. Okay, charity never fails, but whether prophecies they will fail are. Yes. Next verse. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Next verse. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be what? Done away. Next verse. See, that which is in part is the veil. You see, a veil always parts you from the fullness of what God has for you. And we'll see that, you see, the Lord just, the Bible says he has gone through, he has gone as a forerunner into the most holy place. He has made a living and a new way for us, not for himself. So there's nothing the Lord just did for himself. He doesn't need it. He did it for us. And he parted. When he said it was finished, when he said it is finished, the veil what? What happened to the veil in the temple? It tore into two. You see, many of us need to experience the reality of that torn veil that has been torn into two. When you know God is your father and you are his son, you are his daughter. When you will not be afraid because there is no fear in love. But perfect love does what? Casts out fear. So where there is fear, there is judgment. There is torment. And it is not God's will for you to feel tormented. God likes me. God likes me not. God loves me. Love me. God loves me today. God doesn't love me tomorrow. I'm in today. I'm out tomorrow. I'm not an established pillar. I'm double-minded. God doesn't want that anymore. Yeah, we are growing. But it's important for you to hunger and thirst after that reality of that fullness when you're in constant communion with God. When you're in constant fellowship with God. Like Prophet was saying, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are not afraid. The greatest limitation, the greatest veil is fear, and the root cause of fear is sin. For where, Adam, where are you? The Bible says, he said, I was what? Afraid. Why? Because they had sinned and they had fallen short of the glory of God. So when we look into our hearts and look into our lives, and decide and make up our mind by his mercy and grace that we will use the blood of Jesus. Our trust will be in the blood. The Bible says that, and we have entered boldly by the blood of Jesus into the most holy place within the veil. So your trust must be in his blood. I'm coming back to 1 Corinthians 13, which I'll use to end. Your trust must be in his blood, not in your works. Let your trust be in his blood. Hebrews. Let's just quickly review those tools that you're going to use this year. You know, to break through, to wax great, to move forward, to become great, to grow, and to be very great. Your trust must be in the blood of the Lamb. Thank you. Thank you. Hey, look, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil. There is more. You see, in the temple, there are three compartments, just like your body, just like your soul and your spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have your spirit man, which is you. You have your soul, which is the second compartment. And then you have your outer courts, which is your physical body, which I'm seeing. The same thing happens in the temple. You have the outer courts, which everybody sees. Then you have the holy place, which is like your soul. And then you have the most holy place where the Shekinah glory is, which is what your spirit is. So we now want that thing that is in your spirit to be seen in your soul. And when he enters your soul, it will affect your mind. It will start affecting what you think and how you think. It start making you creative. It start making you have the mind of Christ, ultimately, realistically. Not just what the Bible says, I have the mind of Christ, and I'm still having the carnal nature fighting the mind of Christ in me. And then it will affect my physical body, where there is healing and health and life and prosperity and miracles and power and signs and wonders. So it says, next verse. Whither the foreigner, so the Lord Jesus is our foreigner, he's the breaker. He has gone for us, entered, even just made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, showing us that it is through intercession and prayer, the discipline of prayer and intercession, waking up early like him, that we too are going to enter into that thing. So the trust must be in the blood of Jesus, because it is through that blood that we have boldness. I believe that is in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to quickly round off with these tools. Hebrews 9, where it talks about having boldness through the blood. Please help me to confirm. Hebrews 9 says we have boldness through the blood. Boldness through the blood. Thank you. Hebrews 10, 19. Thank you. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter where? Into the holiest by the what? Blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus isn't just blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is a spiritual agent to cleanse your heart from all unrighteousness and sin. So you can have boldness to stand before God and before angels and before the devil and his demons and as the righteousness of God. You break through into that veil of not self-confidence, of God confidence, of Christ confidence. God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And one of the ways we are going to tear through that veil of fear brought by sin is through the what? Blood of Jesus, the blood of the Lamb. The next thing you need to know is the Word of God. You need to get hungry for God's Word, the undiluted Word, true Word. You need to, and of course, you do that by listening to anointed messages. You're in the right place. Listen to the kind of right teaching you're supposed to get. I'm going to leave. I don't want to leave you to that, but at the same time, you can discern and you can know yourself when you hear truths that will set you free and make you more like Jesus. And you read books after men, you know, upon the foundations of apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Because these are shaking times, and you want to have the right foundation. You want to have the right word that you are listening to, that you are eating daily, personally, and also corporately like this. And even away from this place, what do you listen to when you're walking on the streets and with your earphones, with your earbuds, what you are listening to on your phone? What are you listening to that is building you up? Are you listening to words that will edify you? Is your spirit man being fed with the right thing? Or are you listening to news that will shake you? Because these are shaking times. I will shake the heavens and the earth. And the rain will beat against the roof. The storm, the floods will come. But you want to be able to stand. Those that hear the word and practice it. So it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to start doing it. You know, at least you are doing your best. You are working it out. You are seeking the right thing first. They will note that. And then you, that you've even been hearing it, you start practicing it, and you are doing your best in practicing it, God will also note that and give you more mercy and more grace. Because he that keepeth the word of God, in him verily is the what? Love of God perfected. And perfect love casts out fear. See again, is that fear the root, the veil, the major veil that hinders us or has limited us hitherto? Is fear. Ignorance. Even though it manifests in different forms, we all know how it is for us. You know, but it's sin ultimately, the sin nature. So you need the word, and you pull down the traditions of men. Get stuck with the word. Get laminated to God's word. Listen to the right words. Be at the right place where you hear prophetic and apostolic teachings. Read the right books.
And then finally, you need the power of the Holy Spirit. I've told you, he's a person. And he's inside you, he's beside you, readily available. He's the resident God on earth. He's as powerful as the Father. They call him the muscle of God. He's as powerful as the Lord Jesus. He's not lower than them. He is God, Holy Spirit. And you need to tap into his ministry. You need to pray in the Spirit and build yourself up. And he will give you revelation that will dispel darkness. He is light. In him is no darkness at all. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't matter what challenges you are facing. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you need to put him into... you need to put his power and his wisdom into effect. And you do that by praying in the Spirit. Whether you are tired or you feel like it or not. It's not about feelings. It's about faith. And now abideth. Let's end with that. So I've told you, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When the enemy comes, like a fraud, the Spirit of God raised the standard against him. He's the resident God on earth. I was reading a book, it says, Jesus continues tapping into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Lord just has left. He left the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not some quiet, doesn't talk person. He's a mighty God. Yes, he's gentle. But if you inquire and you ask, he will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will take that to the Father and show you and glorify the Son. Are we together? So you need to put the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, relationship with the Holy Spirit. You need to put it into effect. So give me 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse. Great. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. You want to be seeing God through the word. You want to know what to do. You want to be hearing him. You want to be sensitive. You want to be obedient. You want to be hearing God the way the Lord just hears God. You want to be seeing God the way the Lord just sees God. Now, he wasn't seeing visions per se, but through the word, he was seeing revelation. He knew what to do at every point in time. God is in you. The Father is, say, the Father and myself will come and make our abode with you. Imagine being filled with all the fullness of God. That's where we are going. The Father, the Son, and the Spirit are resident in you. So you are seeing them face to face. You are hearing them. You have the mind of Christ. Now it's gradual, but I mean, you need to start aspiring. These are the things that you need to aspire for this year. It will affect every area of your life. Don't let me lie to you. I don't care what you do, whether you are in music or you are into science or you are into engineering. The core thing, these are the people that created science and arts and everything that you see. They bring all things to consist. What God is looking for are people that are going to seek him for who he is and want to know him. And then he will now show them mysteries and revelations and insights, and he'll give them concepts, and he'll give them ideas, and he'll give them God ideas. He'll give them innovation. He'll give them wisdom, like Daniel. God is hungry to do those things more than you know. Christ in you, the hope of glory. In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I've told you that the thing that's going to be the in thing in this decade and beyond is Christ. Do you understand? Whether you say amen, whether you don't say amen, it is. Because in him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ the anointed one and his anointing. Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Where all other things are shaken, Christ, the chief cornerstone, is unshakable. So know how to get Christ that is in you out to dominate your mind. You need to start speaking God's word. You need to know God's word. You need to start speaking God's word. You need to start praying in the Spirit and release power to be a doer of the work and not hearer only, so that we'll not just be seen through a glass darkly. That's riddles. But then we'll be seen face to face. As I am, as he is, so am I in this world. Now I know in part. But then I shall know even as I am known by him. Next verse. And now abideth faith. You need faith this year. You need to live by faith and not by sight. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. And faith is established when you practice what you hear. Whether it's 5 minutes. One time I was tired and God said, even if you pray in the Spirit like a whisper, it's more powerful than the earthquake of the enemy. The whisper of the Spirit is far powerful than the earthquake. The whisper of the Spirit is far powerful than the most vehement fire. The whisper of the Spirit, what does Elijah face? Is greater than the mightiest wind.
Because he heard a still small voice.
Pray in the spirit, even if it's 5 minutes, you're going, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, or you join Good Morning Jesus before you know you're praying for 1 hour, 20 minutes, 40 minutes. Are we together? And now abideth faith, hope, the hope of salvation, lying within the veil is the hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory, the solution, the everything that I need, that the world needs, is in me. Christ. And then most importantly, love. And he says, the greatest of these is love, because perfect love casts out fear. The Lord bless us. Let's bow our head as we pray. Saviors will arise out of Zion. But what makes them saviors? They have broken through the limitation that veil of the flesh has caused hitherto. The limitation of fear, the limitation of low self-esteem, the limitation of the works of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another. So as I'm going to this year, I'm purposing in my heart like Daniel that I'm going to use the blood of Jesus. My faith is going to continually be in the blood of Jesus. My faith is going to continually be in the word of God. My faith is going to continually be in the power of the Holy Spirit. I might not be perfect, of course, but that's where I'm going, and I'm making up my mind that I want to be like Jesus, that the life of Jesus, people are hungry for Jesus. Say, this is our God, we have waited for him. He has come to save. This is our God, we have waited for him. The world is longing to see Jesus. You will enter the bus, they will touch you, they will be healed. Because our life of Jesus, you see, it's not your life, it's the life of Jesus. So please, stop trying to have your life. It's the life of Jesus. Christianity is another man's life, and that man is the Lord Jesus, and that life is in you. Now he's saying, you know what, let this life begin to sip out, and not just sip, let it begin to gush out, and not just gush, let it begin to flow out, and not just flow, let it begin to overflow. Like Isaac, he grew, he moved forward, he became great, and he waxed great. So also the life in you begins to grow. It begins to move forward in your mind, in your will, in your emotions. It begins to become great in your physical body. And then it waxes great because it becomes like a flood that flows into the entire environment, into your works, into your neighbors, and you become a blessing. And you say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Yeah, the faith, the life I now live is not just my life, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not by my works, it's not by my deeds, it's not by how old I am, it's not by whether I'm black or white, or whether I'm male or female, it's not by my race, not by gender, it's not by my status. But Christ in me, my faith in his blood, my faith in his word, and my faith in the power of the Lord Holy Spirit, the resident God on earth. And I can be who God says I am. I can do what God says I can do. And I can fulfill what God has destined me to fulfill, to be like Jesus. Because that the life of Jesus, not your life, not your pastor's life, not your daddy's life, but the life of Jesus may be made manifest in your mortal body as we break through the veil of the flesh and limitation. Let's just stand up as we pray together and round off. And let's just sing this song. Just the few final verses. He has come to save.
He has come to save us. He has come to save. Up your eyes and see our God has surely come. He has come to save.
Say to those.
Say to the weary one, your God has surely come. He has come to save.
Let's just raise up our hand and put one hand on our heart. Say, Father, we confess our sins. So we claim with the blood of Jesus.
from all unrighteousness. If you are listening online, you can also do the same. Father, we confess our sins, so we claim the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Father, we come in unity and in faith under the covenant of our fathers, under the covenant of the bishop and shepherd of our souls, the Lord Jesus, to thank you for all that you have done. Lord God, all that you have said concerning us. Father, all that you have said that we are going to the other side to become like you, to show forth your glory and to manifest your glory and your presence. Father, we lift up our hands to say, Lord God, truly raise up our heads looking up to you. From whence comes our help? Yes, Holy Spirit, our help comes from you, maker of heaven and earth. Thank you because you are in us. Thank you because you are for us. Thank you because you are beside us. Lord, we pray that even in this new year, you will come to have mercy upon us, helping us to live by faith and not by sight. Faith in your blood to break through the veil of the flesh. Faith in your word to live by faith and not by sight. Faith in your word to have the love of God perfected in us. Faith in your word and grace to keep your word by being doers of the word and not hearers only, even in this year and beyond, so that your love will be perfected in us. It will have a free course, full course in every area of our lives, and faith in the power and the person of the Holy Spirit, in the person and the power of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit will reveal from your word things to come. He will show us things to come. He will guide us into all truth. He will give us wisdom and revelation. He will cause the character of Christ to be formed in us and glorified in us. He will help us to bow down in intercession, in humility, in the fear of God, in unity, united prayer, individual prayer, binding our hearts together in the fear of God, helping us to travail in the place of prayer so that Christ can be formed in us, Christ can be made manifest in us. The veil of fear, the veil of the flesh, the veil that has parted us hitherto can be torn into two. The veil of religion, of fear, of worry, of anxiety, of depression, of iniquity can be torn, can be dominated, can be rent to two in our soul and our physical body, so that the life of Jesus, that investment that you have placed in our spirit, will now flow into our physical body, into our souls, into our physical body, for all men to see, and truly will be a delightsome land in our lives, in our home, in our nation, and in this earth, so that truly might be fulfilled. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that truly as he is in heaven, so are we on earth. The life of Jesus in heaven being made manifest on earth, even as he is in heaven, in Jesus' name. Father, we pray this for ourselves. We pray this for your body, your remnant, and the entire body of Christ, that this thing will begin. Father, it will be triggered. It will be made manifest on earth as it is in heaven, even at this time and in this season, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's pray in the Spirit. Thank you, Father Bakaya. Thank you, Lord Joseph Kapatoria. Thank you, Holy Spirit Bakaya. Mali Tikedoria. Thank you, Father Bazaria Kudoria. Thank you, Holy Spirit Bakaya. Shaka Tore Pozictoria. Male Droko Pozictoria. Thank you, Father Bajakta. Thank you, Father, because like Isaac, even in this season, you will help us, O Lord God, to become great in humility, great, O Lord God, in meekness, great in the things of the Spirit, great in character. We will move forward in the things of the Spirit, Lord God, Father, and also in our secular lives. Father, we will become great. Father, will be very great, O Lord God, like that seed. Father, like a mustard seed that becomes very great, and the birds of the air come there and find shade. The animals, they come and find shade, and we provide shade to the nations and the earth, because the Gentiles will truly become, they will be drawn unto you as you are lifted up in us in Jesus. Thank you for these things as you reveal them to us personally in your manifold wisdom and manifold grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.